Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
You ready?
Hi, I'm Russ.
And I'm Sean.
And we're two boy babies who have been making silly things together since we were 10 years old.
From radio shows to home videos, parody commercials and Terminator spoofs, indie films, horror shorts, a porn, and now a film review podcast.
We're going to mispronounce words.
Forget actors' names.
And most importantly, have fun.
This is just another review podcast.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, because it's now.
Review or review?
Potato.
Okay, I thought so. Sometimes I mix it up.
Schedule or schedule?
Very much so schedule.
Roof or rough?
Ooh. I don't know. Man, I got the burps again today.
In this podcast, we're talking about Woman of the Hour.
The not Man of the Hour, Woman.
Woman who went right to
NBC.
Netflix. WNBC, directed by Anna Kendrick.
Oh, nice.
Also starring Anna Kendrick as Cheryl.
Oh, nice. Daniel. Who else does that?
Nice. Like, who says all nice?
No. Who stars and directs in normal movies?
Oh, Clint Eastwood's done it. Mel Gibson's done it.
Bradley Cooper's done it, I think.
Bradley Cooper's done it.
George Clooney does it. Kevin Costner does it.
Oh.
Mel Gibson does it.
I said Mel Gibson.
Already. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. Don't be a cunk.
Anna Kendrick is in it, directs it. Didn't write it, though.
Okay.
Daniel Zovada is in it. He plays Rodney,
the
serial killer. And also, a lot of amazing female actors here. A lot of them also Broadway musical actresses.
Oh.
Kind of like Anna Kendrick.
Yeah, that's probably where she got them from.
They're from the singing circle.
Yeah.
And also saw
Circle of Friends.
It also stars some nice... probably very nice men in real life. Tony Hall plays Ed, the dating game host, and Pete Holmes,
very funny guy,
The neighbor who just wants sex.
If you haven't seen any of Pete Holmes' stand up, I highly recommend it. He's really funny.
Yeah, because you're a Christian? Is that why you like him?
Is he a harsh Christian?
No, he's not a harsh Christian. Did you ever watch his HBO series? I believe it's
no.
Like, it's
no, I've about, just seen his stand up.
Like couch surfing or something about the fact that basically. He's kind of playing a version of himself where he kind of has this Christian upbringing. He's married. His wife cheats on him, but he's always been into comedy. And so
wasn't Christian.
He moved. I think sometimes people, even Christians, make mistakes.
No, they don't.
And sin. And then he goes to New York or something to become a comedian, and he ends up couch surfing on all these other comedians. Couches, so okay. He ends up like every episode kind of has like a cameo,
and he asks them questions about life.
No, it's more like him just learning from them. Like it's not a documentary; it's like just okay. it's acting.
Oh, okay.
What is Crashing? Is like Crashing.
Oh, okay. I'll check it out.
I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
But anyways, Pete Holmes is funny, and yes.
And Tony Hall, he's the hook man from Arrested Development.
Yeah, right?
Exactly. He's funny.
Yeah, he's super funny.
And baby boy.
And he was in Veep and a bunch of other great stuff.
Okay, I haven't seen Veep either.
So some of the actresses I was mentioning before, Nicolette Robinson plays Laura. Autumn Bast plays...
Is that the African-American girl?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I don't quite remember their names, but...
Yes, so she's the one that's in the audience and recognizes Rodney from someone who was with her friend before she died.
Yeah.
And then Autumn Bast, who is the teenage runaway, who we kind of follow her story throughout. Catherine Gallagher is Charlie, who's that basically is moving on the day, like kind of, she's one of the flashbacks.
Right, Rodney helps her move boxes into her apartment.
Right. Which, you know, if you're going to get someone to help you move... Don't just go.
Better choke them out.
No, that's the first run. You just see them fight. You just see Rodney and Charlie fight in the apartment. But it's Kelly Jackal who plays Sarah in the very beginning, like the first scene to show.
No,
like,
he chokes her too. He puts something around her neck.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, I just thought I remember
them fighting. And then the camera kind of pulling back.
Yeah, they fight first. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you get that view from the
skylight.
The sky. Yeah. The really cool shot.
Yeah. Wow, who directed this movie?
Anna Kendrick did.
And starred.
Is this her first movie?
That she directed?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Oh, this is her directorial debut.
Amazing directorial debut.
Sean approves.
I do approve. I can't wait to see what she does next. She did such a good job with this. So.
And because this is... kind of has a serious subject matter, even though there is some charming, fun aspects of this film. I'm going to say a very serious synopsis.
Okay, you ready? I have music.
On the verge of quitting acting after a series of frustrating encounters, Cheryl is cast in a live broadcast of The Dating Game. Unbeknownst to her, batch number three is serial killer Rodney Alcala.
I'll take door number three, please.
Based on real events and a Hendrick's directorial debut, Woman of the Hour depicts a systemic misogyny and violence against women in the 1970s that continues to exist today.
Oh.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
I feel like there's a real balance of like treating this the themes here very seriously,
right?
But you know, I think Andrew Kendrick had fun with this movie, and we
she had fun with the dating podcast. Game part for sure.
Yeah, like her ability to like rewrite the questions. I actually went back to watch the some of the real.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've got a note here. Would be great to see the episode of Exist, yet probably pretty disturbing knowing the outcome.
Right. Well, I mean, she was fine in real life, too. She never actually
went. Yeah, but you get to see the killer before he's caught, kind of standing up there, not in all his glory, but you know what I mean? He's still waiting to get apprehended. That's kind of creepy.
Yeah, and the reality is that he was, like, prior to... Okay, let me see if I can, like, prior to the actually going on
Richard
the
Prior game, to.
Richard Pryor to, oh man, do I actually have this somewhere? I thought I had it somewhere as far as, like, he's actually more, he's on, like, an FBI's most wanted list before he goes on the dating
game. For, like, 10 years. He was reported for 10 years or something like that, off and on. And
like, he's already convicted criminal many times. He's already served jail time. So I think that there is a part in the movie that it says, oh yeah, the producers would have done their due diligence. No. Like, this was a convicted felon. There was no due diligence done.
That whatsoever. Was pretty shameful. I mean,
it's the '70s
of when Laura came and tried to bring it to the producer's attention and got the attention of that security guard, and he just blew her off and said that one of the producers was going to meet her, but it ended up being the custodian.
Yes,
you know, so
even they're like, oh, here's a male character that's actually showing empathy.
That exactly.
You thought for one. Oh wait, no, he's a bad guy.
No, too. No one doesn't take her seriously.
Just like other red-blooded men in this movie. I like this movie.
I really like this movie.
There is, and I'm fine with that. You can depict men as the ugly creatures they are, but every male character in this film
was an asshole.
Is an asshole.
Yeah.
And it's the degrees of bad men. And so on the one end, you've got Laura's boyfriend who dismisses her initially, doesn't believe her, doesn't like take her seriously when she says, no, we need to do something. And then obviously realizes he's a dumb shit and brings her flowers and kind of like, you know, goes with her to the police department. So yeah, maybe he ends up being the lesser degree of bad men. And then you got the completely on the opposite end, you've got Rodney, who is convicted of 7 murders by the time he goes to jail for life, but probably the killed 130
people. Were women like the waitress who was going to give them another drink, and she kind of
she's
nodded to her offhand, you know,
code word.
Laura trying to warn them, you know, and then the makeup and hairstylists were actually helping Andrew and Anna.
Like giving her some power back.
Yeah. So all men are bad, all women are good in this movie.
In this movie, which is fair.
Yeah.
I mean, when you see that this really happened.
Yeah.
And how do you see, you know, portray the corruption and the misogyny and the how these women were treated for many years? Like how other can you depict that story in a one an hour, 30 minute that still needs to be entertaining and fun.
I really love the back and forth of the timelines. You know, it goes forward to the dating game, then it goes back and kind of shows more of Rodney's backstory and crimes he committed in the past. Then it goes back to the dating game, then it goes back again, you know, dipsy doo. But it was done so well and really built up the creepiness of Rodney to where he's following her in the parking lot at the end of the dating game. They've won or whatever. They went out on a date. He finally kind of let his, I don't know, he kind of screws up every now and then, seems to be with his encounters with women. I don't know, screws up, but he...
He shows his true colors.
Yeah, exactly. Shows his true colors kind of by whatever, making a comment or something like that to where the women that are dealing with him are finally get...
They get tipped off. They're like, oh, yeah, they trust their gut.
Yeah, right? They get this instinct that this guy's not quite right in the head. And yeah, when he's following her in the parking lot and then she dismisses him and gives him the wrong phone number and then he whispers under his breath, oh, I'm going to bash your head in. And then she's like, what?
Yeah, interesting about the time loops because they show the one where he's with Autumn Bast, who is the teenage runaway that ends up calling the cops and getting him in jail, is actually a year after the Dating Game. So they do show, they introduce that part of the story early in the movie and they say 1979, but they've also dated the game show period, the main stretch of the story with Anna Kendrick as 1978. So I thought, oh, I think they made a mistake. Obviously the movie didn't make a mistake, but it brought me to the edge of my seat. I'm like, okay, wait a second. You're telling me that he's still killing people like after the Dating Game show?
Yeah.
Because I didn't really know the true story yet.
Weren't sure, like in the parking lot there, like, right. Is she going to get it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I didn't do research. I was just like, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
But it is interesting, like you said, the trusting your gut, because there's so much sexism, you know, still now and even back then, where it was, I love the part where Anna Kendrick and Pete Holmes is at the bar. And even like the behaviors that women have to do to continue to keep the facade so they don't have to offend men. So at one point he like advances on her, like he, you know, unconsensual touches her hair.
Right.
And instead of her saying like, pardon, what the fuck, creep, stop it.
Whoops. Jeez. Wrong button.
Every time I swear I put the lotion in the basket.
The warning was a good one though.
she says, sorry. Sorry. Yeah,
like
sorry
about that.
She's apologizing
for his indiscretions.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that is a microcosm of this whole, like, you know, how sometimes these social norms that are actually disadvantaging women, even though they trust their gut, they're put in these situations where they have to, like, based on sexism, have to be. Like,
well, this was taking place in the 70s, which right. I'm sure was very much a man's world.
You sure. know what I mean? Do you remember watching The Dating Game as a kid?
Maybe little bits and pieces.
I think I remember as a kid, like wanting to stay up to watch The Dating Game, like right. knowing that as soon as The Dating Game was over, I had to go to bed. And I was like, I want to stay up. I want to see what. Like, so, I mean,
I want to see who she picks.
Yeah. Like the, and,
Jesus,
like,
mom,
a show full of sexual innuendos and
yeah,
probably very sexist sexual innuendos. What does that do to the male psyche at a young age?
It made you sexist.
Oh man. I'm so sorry, everybody.
You get coin for that one.
Anything else about this movie that you want to talk about?
Just was really well done. I really, really enjoyed it. And I want to go back and see if I can find that original episode of The Dating Game on YouTube.
Yeah,
I
watched portions of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And do flowers solve everything? If your wife's mad at you,
I think it has to come with an apology. Yeah. It's like one piece of the puzzle. You know?
Yeah.
Nowadays, I don't think actually flowers, I think people get offended by flowers.
Why?
Because the act.
They stink?
No, I think it's just the idea of like you're killing a living thing.
Oh.
So I think the meaning.
So are florists murderers?
The meaning of flowers, and this is, you know, this is to each their own. I'm not saying good or bad. I think some people would prefer, if you ask them, they might be like, no, thanks. You don't need to kill a living thing to give to me so I can put it in a vase and it dies in a couple of days. Give me a plant and I will take care of it and love it for life.
Or but don't give years. Me something don't, that just yeah. dies in a couple of days. Just so, like your love.
So I'm so, it will die. So flowers do not solve anything. It's more about the apology.
Do you know your wife's favorite flower?
Lily.
Lilies?
Sure.
Lilies, sure.
He's just guessing. What's your wife's favorite flower?
Tulips.
Oh, that's lovely.
I know, if I'm in the doghouse, I just go get a bunch of tulips. That's right.
From the Save-On Foods.
Save-On Foods will save my ass from sleeping on the couch.
You want to rate this?
Thanks, Jimmy Passan. Yep.
This shit is awesome.
We use two ratings here. I say if it's better than The Great Outdoors, and Sean gives it a score 1 to 5.
I actually use science.
Wow.
It's science.
Is it math or science?
It's math.
Okay.
But scientifically put together.
Is it better than Great Outdoors? Guess what? Yes, it is.
Oh.
It's better.
How much better?
I would say it's a capital B and then an eder and then a period.
Yeah. I see you've got a period here. So it is good.
It's better.
All encompassing.
Yeah, it's better.
Okay.
What about you?
I give it a 4.75.
Okay.
I really like this movie.
Wait a second. Did you rate this higher than Anora?
I did. I used science. I used science. I really enjoyed this debut from Anna Kendrick. Probably she got extra props because this was her directorial debut.
Right. If this was Tangerine, Sean Baker's Tangerine, you would have given it a 4.75 or
something. No, I don't know. I don't know. You don't but anyways, know. Just extra kudos for knocking it out of the park on your first try. I really enjoyed the debut from Anna Kendrick. The acting was phenomenal and the direction was superb. I love the aesthetic look to it being set in the 1970s and it kept me engaged and intrigued the whole duration. Very, very well done.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with the acting. I thought every character I thought was really well done.
Rodney was really good. Yeah. Really, really good.
Like, even the smallest parts, I thought, wow, like, they captivated me. I thought it was good. Yeah, it was a well done.
Hey, movie. Big things come in small packages. That's what my mom always told me.
As she changed her diaper.
As I got out of the shower.
To change your diaper?
No. Right.
Russ has somewhere to be. This is the part where stargazing, where we talk about things we're enjoying and doing all that. I'm still kind of, I don't want to fill our last podcast up with, I watched a lot of stuff over the break. I was really sick, so I had a lot of time laying in bed. So I was trying to figure out a movie that might fall under the same vein as Women of the Hour. And I watched Prey, that newest Predator movie.
I love it. I love that movie.
Yeah, it's so good.
So good.
Filmed in the great outdoors of Alberta. Oh. Yeah.
Alberta, like the great Canada. Outdoors of John Candy's.
Yeah.
Great outdoors. Not filmed in Canada. That was filmed in California.
Okay. Yeah. But Prey was filmed in Alberta. Really, really liked this take on the Predator series. Thought it was super cool. And it's got a dog in it that kicks ass. So,
I mean, are they going to do that? I think we talked about that already. Like, what's that? Like, a Predator goes to like medieval period. Like, Predator goes to Renaissance. Like,
I think lots after it. Prey, I think a lot of people jumped on that train and say, hey, let's see some more. Yeah, let's see Predator in medieval times. Let's see him during the samurai era.
Yeah. Good idea.
With the guy from Shogun. Could you imagine?
Sure.
That's the lead guy. And
No, I know.
Haunts a bunch of ninjas.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
That'd be super cool. Yeah.
And then you watched a terrible movie?
One of my favorites, actually. I watched the original Tron from 1982. Yeah. I really liked this as a kid. Obviously, as an adult, I could see some... As an adult, I could see a little bit of holes in it, but it's actually fun watching it with the subtitles on and just picking up on a lot of the dialogue that I never picked up on as a kid, especially when the programs are talking about what they were actually designed for. One was like a mortgage program, and the other one was something else like a tax program and all that, and Anyways,
a mortgage.
I really love the music of Tron or whatever. Right. And super excited. Really like Tron Legacy.
Are they doing a new Tron?
They are. Tron 3. Mm. Trent Reznor and Nine Inch Nails is doing the soundtrack for
it. Not Atticus Ross and Trent Reznor.
No, just Trent Reznor and his Nine Inch Nails buddies. And unfortunately, Jared Leto's in it. So, but whatever. Warning, Jared Leto's in a movie.
Warning, the Joker is in it.
Yeah. The worst Joker.
I'm going to keep the Netflix train going. I watched the full miniseries.
Oh, you've seen the whole thing?
American Primeval.
Yeah, Peter Berg had something to do with that. I really like Peter Berg.
He directed every episode.
I love Peter Berg.
You know what's a really fun show, but terrible? American Primeval.
Okay, it's not very good.
It actually the quality gets worse and worse.
Oh.
Like every episode, I'm like, oh. But then I love Westerns. I think I just love Westerns.
It's kind of like Landman. It's a train wreck. Once you start, you have to keep watching it.
Like there's literally, he reuses scenes in different episodes, but not because they're like
a flashback to
not because it's a flashback. It's just like, he's just used the exact same scene to show like B roll of a character just about doing their day
he ran out of footage and like, just reuse it.
Yeah. And it's just one of those movies. It was just one of those shows where you're like, you need to come with me. No, you need to come with me. Okay. There's no real sense to it. Like, it's just all done for dramatic purposes. There's some really cool scenes in it, especially I really enjoyed the first couple episodes. There's one part where they use the trope of like narrating, like voiceover narrating, but the trope is like a Terrence Malick movie, but it's so significant in how the plot proceeds. But it only starts like episode 4 or 5. You're like, okay, now they're voiceover narrating now? And it was just it's just poetic nonsense.
Like Terrence Malick.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, if that's your whole film, then that's your whole film. But like, don't just suddenly introduce it in episode four. I don't know.
Anyways. What was that movie? A Thin Red Line? That
right, he did? Yeah. The Thin Red Line. That was the...
Terrence Malick?
Yeah, that was Terrence Malick. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember like the guy hadn't directed anything for what, 20 years? And he comes out with this movie and everyone was all over him. And I tried watching it, but...
I mean, I think that's
came out at the same time like Saving Private Ryan came out. I
think that's probably one of the more viewable Terrence Malick's because he did the other one.
Was it was Brad Tree? Pitt?
Yeah. Oh yeah, the Tree of Life or something. Tree of Life. That was hard. I couldn't get through that one.
Oh, I don't blame you.
But I mean, Terrence Malick, I think, is a good filmmaker. He's like a David Lynch thing.
You know what a good Peter Berg movie is?
Tell me.
Lone Soldier with Mark Wahlberg. Actually, sure. It's pretty good about that Navy SEAL or special ops guy.
Yeah, he's trapped in the desert somewhere or something, isn't he?
No, they're like in the forest of Iran or something like that. They're out in the Middle East. Anyways, a group of five soldiers, or four soldiers or whatever. Yeah. And hey, spoiler alert, he's the lone survivor.
Oh, no. So it's like that movie Cube.
Yeah.
Where one person survives.
Yeah, but you got that wrong.
Speaking of random movie trivia.
What?
Random movie trivia game. This is where we ask four questions each. We've never seen these questions before.
Here, take a card. Shove it in my face
Sean
again.
Sean takes a card from this a is where stack Russ of cards cheats. That I lay out for him. I also take a card. Yeah. Okay.
He doesn't do subliminal suggestions.
I'm going to ask first.
Here, don't take this card. You're going first?
Yeah.
Okay.
What former Ghostbuster directed Bill Murray in Groundhog Day?
I know his face.
Yeah.
I know his face.
It's not Dan Aykroyd. A former Ghostbuster directed Bill Murray in Groundhog Day.
Oh my god, I know his face, but his... his...
Oh wow.
Ivan Reitman. No, I know it's not. I know it's not Ivan Reitman.
Harold Ramis.
Harold Ramis. Yeah,
long dance, motherfucker!
Yeah, you would have known that. You would have known that.
I knew his face. I just couldn't...
Igor. No, what's his... Ivan. What's his name in Ghostbusters? What's his character's name in... Oh, we don't even know that.
Igor. Ivan.
Ivan. Okay, go ask
me
a question.
Wait, now I'm fucked up because I want to know what his name is.
Ray.
Not Einstein. Einstein. What is Harold Ramis's name in Ghostbusters?
They made two of them.
I can hear the receptionist saying it. Oh, right. Obviously not clearly.
Does the reception fall for him or fall for Rick Moranis? Which is
no, she falls for him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because they're related. The new Ghostbuster movies with Paul Rudd, aren't they related to?
They end up getting married and have children.
But aren't they the grandson of? Yeah.
Yeah,
grandson.
Of those two. Oh, okay. Yeah. Anyways, we'll circle back to that.
None of this matters.
Who voices the conductor in the Polar Express?
Tom Hanks.
Oh, good job.
Yes.
Hit me.
Yep. In the action movie 300, where is the invading army from? Oh my gosh.
Greece?
Persia.
Oh.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah, I wouldn't never.
Wouldn't
have gotten that.
Damn it.
They were so sweaty.
In what move does what movie does Liam Neeson play a retired CIA agent with a very particular set of skills?
Is that one where he has to find his daughter?
I'm asking you to tell me. That's part of the answer.
So he has to find his daughter. So it's something about get daughter back.
Give me
take
back
it,
my
take it, take it, take it. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you got it.
I got it. Whew.
All right.
An overweight, abused...
A what?
An overweight... An overweight, abused,
overweight, abused,
illiterate teen enrolls in an alternate school in what Oscar-nominated film?
An overweight,
abused, illiterate teen enrolls in an alternative school in what Oscar-nominated film? And I believe this film has like two titles, but there's like a one-word part of the title, and then there's like a, which is what the answer is on this card.
Mask!
And then there's like a longer title. Mariah Carey's in this, is what I can recall.
Oh, Precious.
Right, yeah.
But I said Mask first.
Wasn't there a longer title to Precious? Am I
Precious, the fat girl at school.
No, come on now, stop it.
Who directed It's a Wonderful Life?
Come on. Oh. You watch it every Christmas.
I did watch it for the first time.
Oh, you watched Miracle on 31st Street.
No, I watched It's a Wonderful Life. Okay, well,
think about the credits. Who directs it?
No idea. Burt Bacharach.
Frank Capra.
Yeah, I knew Jimmy Stewart was in it, but that's about it. Hopefully Jimmy Stewart's in it. Who plays Ichabod Crane in Tim Burton's Sleepy Hollow? Who plays anything in Tim Burton's movies?
Who plays everything in Tim Burton?
Who plays everything?
That would be rock and roll singer Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
All right, I'm still in it.
Confused by his daughter, Lily.
This is for the win. Which Dracula actor originated the line, "I never drink wine"? No, the question mark's after. "I never drink wine."
I never drink
wine. Which Dracula actor originated the line?
Gary Oldman?
"I never drink wine."
Gary Oldman.
Wrong answer, motherfucker!
That would be Bela Lugosi.
Bela Lugosi.
Yeah, yeah. All right, for the tie. Can I tie it up?
Oh, so I got two and you got two?
No. Wait, did I go first?
You got Precious and Johnny Depp. No, you just got Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
And how many did I get?
Oh, you got two.
I win.
Oh. Yeah,
what the hell, man? That's terrible. You tried to.
I did try.
Not the first time that someone tried to screw me with tying it up.
I tried to cheat.
Well, thanks everybody for coming to.
I got to bring Russ some lilies now to make up for it.
Woman of the Hour. Love you, buddy.
Love you too. Have a good one.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, because it's now.